Hello, everyone. Welcome to Science Unscripted. Connor here.
And Gabe. And we're going to switch it up. You've been doing the lead here on these lately, Connor.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the lead on this one. I'm going to ask our listeners right now, have you ever choked under pressure? Do you know that feeling when you get nervous, you get the jitters, and you're just not as good as you normally are at the task at hand? You're on the golf course. You're by yourself. You can hit the putt and it's no problem. No problem. You stroke it in, right? No problem. And then you go out in a match with your friends and there's $20 on the line and you can't make that putt.
You choke. That's the question today. What is happening there? And are we alone, you know, on this planet Earth? Are we human beings? We Homo sapiens? Are we the only primates who have this happen to them? This kind of small tragedy in high-risk situations? The answer is no. And for more on that, we're going to go to Aaron Bautista, who just conducted some research on rhesus monkeys.
Science Unscripted.
Well, hi, my name is Aaron Bautista. I'm a professor of bioengineering at the University of Pittsburgh here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm very happy to be here with you guys today. And what we've done is to study how animals, specifically rhesus monkeys, perform in high-stakes scenarios. And it turns out they perform a lot like we do, including, we think most notably, they choke under pressure. When the stakes get high, they seem to underperform, which is a bit of a behavioral paradox.
So, Aaron, I have to ask, what is a high-stakes scenario for a rhesus monkey? What you know, makes them get the jitters?
Yeah, yeah. We thought we would need 10,000 adoring fans pleading with them to succeed at this trial, but it turns out all they needed was an unusually large dollop of something that they like, whether it's fruit juice or fruit or water, whatever it may be that they want. If you offer them a lot of it, 10 times more than the average for performing well on a single individual trial of a movement, that's enough to get them to choke under pressure.
If I were the rhesus monkey, what would I have had to have done here for this experiment?
Sure. You're playing a video game where targets are appearing on the screen and their color or shape indicates to you how much value they have. And then you have to move very quickly to acquire that target, just a very direct point-to-point reaching movement to touch a small target quickly. And if you don't, it's going to vanish and you're not going to get your reward on that trial. So you're highly motivated to basically swat these virtual flies and to do it as quickly and accurately as you can.
And how much worse were they when the pressure was on?
Some of them dropped quite a bit. You know, we make the task challenging so that there's room to improve. And we do find out that as you give them moderately large increases in potential payoff, they improve because they're motivated. But then, you know, it's difficult enough that we can see up to a 10 to 25% drop in performance.
So
for the jackpots.
So this monkey's about to play a video game on a touchscreen, it sounds like. And you show them the reward first, right? So it's either a small reward, a little bit of, I don't know, honey or juice or fruit. So sometimes it's small, and then all of a sudden you put out a huge old dollop of this stuff, and they see it beforehand, and they kind of freak out. They kind of get the jitters. They can't do it as well.
Yes, that's right. Now, let's be clear. First of all, it's a symbol. They're not grabbing the real object. They are touching a colored object that signifies for them what will give them in the next moment or two. And you know, we thought they might get the jitters, and some do. It seems that their hands are a little less stable when the jackpots are offered. But actually, what they do is surprising to us. They're overly cautious. They seem to think about it more carefully. They seem to slow down, and it's almost as if it's a failure of planning rather than motor execution, which if you think about our human experiences, you know, we tend to underperform and choke under pressure when we have some time to think about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I play golf, Aaron, and I get the yips, which is the term for when you're putting a pretty easy what would be a normally very easy putt, a 2-foot putt. You just can't do it when the pressure is on. And I would say I get that because I'm nervous, not because I'm overly cautious. Are these rhesus monkeys getting nervous? Or what is happening?
This is a great question. So first of all, Gabe, I want to let you know to go easy on yourself. This is not something that just you do. All humans do it. And now we see that even other primates do it. So it's just in our brains, as it turns out. And it's notoriously difficult to get rid of. You're experiencing it as nervousness, and that is certainly part of what's going on here. But we think that these animals are sophisticated enough that they can react to that feeling of nervousness by trying to calm themselves down and slow themselves down. I'm anthropomorphizing a little bit here, and then make that movement as deliberately and cautiously as they can. And I might say that they overcompensate for the yips, and that's why they're underperforming.
And did I understand this correctly? This is your experiment. This is the first time we've seen anything like this behavior in an animal that's not a Homo sapien?
You know, to our knowledge, and we did our very best to comb the literature, this is the first time this has been shown. Now, we suspect rodents will do it too. But to our knowledge, that has not been published yet. And, you know, I want to point out, if it's okay, that there is a long history going back to Yerkes in the early 20th century showing that animals underperform in situations of anxiety. You know, we know all about fight or flight. But this is showing that this underperformance can be elicited by something rather small and innocuous, just the prospect of a 10 times larger than usual reward.
I guess that's what I still don't understand about this from an evolutionary perspective. It seems like if we're only talking about a potential reward in this case, there's no real physical threat to the animal. It's just a reward. You would think evolution would have figured this out. I mean, why should monkeys and people lose this chance at the fat jackpot?
Why not get better?
Yeah,
in this.
Yeah, is there any insight into that question that you could give to us?
We're completely baffled, as you are. Of course, we've speculated, but we have nothing conclusive to say. Although I will point out, other people have wrestled with that question. So our take on it is the following: either, you know, by definition, these highly unusual situations always exist, and by definition, evolution hasn't dealt with them because they are, by construction, unusual. And, you know, evolution didn't serve us to get really good at professional sports or high-stakes poker. And so here we are failing in those human-concocted scenarios. And it turns out we can get rhesus monkeys to fail just when they think that there's a large reward available to them. So why is this there? Maybe it's because behavior is switching into some different mode, and now behavior is optimal for something that we're not testing. We just don't know what that is.
Aaron, what is it about the rhesus monkey that might explain this? Do they have any similarity to our psychological state or anything like that?
Yes, they have two things that we have, and one of them is shared with many other animals, essentially all other vertebrates. The first thing that we and primates, non-human primates, share is an enormous prefrontal cortex. In humans, that is the single biggest differentiator from a non-human primate brain, is our enormous frontal lobes. And this is where we think and plan and measure the consequences of our actions before we take them. So maybe monkeys are choking like we do because we both have prefrontal cortices. Or maybe it's the dopamine system, which we share with fish and all vertebrates. Maybe the dopamine system which is telling us about potential rewards, just can't handle outsized rewards.
Is there anything that might help these rhesus monkeys perform better in this, you know, reward-loaded situation? Did you see any clues or cues that certain monkeys were doing it better? Or I guess what I'm really asking is, we humans suffer from this too. What could the monkeys and what could the humans do to get that big jackpot better?
The entire field of sports psychology would thank you in a big way if you could offer an answer here.
Yeah, for sure. We would love to be able to say something to that. So our guess and our hope, and we plan to explore it in the future, is to use neurofeedback to be able to say to a monkey, and then maybe one day an athlete or a surgeon or or just an ordinary person going through their lives, to be able to say to them, you know, we're getting a readout of your neural activity that lets us know you are in a disposition where you may underperform when it matters the most. Now, you know, can you regulate this neural signal as a step toward being able to perform better in this important situation? So that's science fiction-y, and that's a long way off, but, you know, we hope we can get there.
When you look into your crystal ball, do you think we will ever get there?
Well, it depends on the advancements of technology that are going on elsewhere in the field. And we've certainly got our fingers crossed, but we hope that we can provide future neuroscientists and bioengineers with a roadmap.
Back when I was playing basketball, there were some very stressful games that came down to the final minute or two, and I ended up on the free throw line, and the same movement that I had done tens of thousands of times became strange and new and unfamiliar to me because of nerves, or because, I guess the risk was high and the reward was high. And one thing that always helped me there was to literally trick my brain. I would imagine the basketball court that on the side of my house that I would always shoot on. I would literally try to make that basketball hoop the in my mind, the one at my home, and then trick my brain into thinking I was home and not, you know, in a crowded gym. I guess the reason I say that is I wonder, do you think there'd be a way to kind of, I don't know, trick the rhesus monkeys, show them this big fat reward, and then distract them long enough that they forget it? I don't know if that's even a question that makes sense.
So first, I mean, kudos for that positive visualization. This is what professional athletes do. And what really distinguishes the professional athlete from all the rest of us is they master the process that you're describing. You know, we all try our best to calm ourselves down and not get psyched out. And professional athletes have not just the refined motor skill, but the self-awareness to gauge their own internal state. And, you know, we would love to make a process like that available for everybody else, starting with our monkeys in the laboratory. So certainly we can get them to not choke by, not giving them time to think about it. So if the colored targets come up so quickly that they don't even have time to process its value, the choking effect goes away. And what we are hoping is that we can encourage positive visualizations. We don't know what the monkeys are thinking, but we can hopefully read neural correlates of their frame of mind and get them to get those neural correlates of the frame of mind under control and see if that improves their performance. But that's all on the distant horizon for us.
I know firsthand how hard or how much it hurts to choke under pressure. And I'm just wondering for the people listening to this interview right now, I mean, what is the takeaway that they should take solace in the fact that monkeys also choke under pressure, that it's just who we are? That's what our brains do?
Yep, it's what our brains do. And, you know, it is, we should not blame ourselves, and we should certainly not run around blaming other people when they underperform under pressure. Let's just realize that this is a paradox of primate behavior and maybe all mammalian behavior, maybe even all vertebrate behavior. And it's just revealing something quirky about the way our nervous system evolved. And let's be at peace with ourselves and try to come up with better and better coping mechanisms.
And that was Aaron Bautista talking to us from his home in Pittsburgh in the United States.
Yeah, and what we were talking about with him once the recording had ended was the idea of taking drugs to fix this problem. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of them. They're called beta blockers. They can relieve or lessen the trembling of muscles. So professional athletes or musicians, when under pressure, don't get the jitters, don't get the yips.
Start shaking.
And they're considering using these drugs on their animals, have not begun with that yet.
But, one thing that Aaron did say was it's something they're considering, but on the other hand, would they be treating the cause of the choking or the manifestation of it? So one thing,
symptom
the symptom, yeah.
The real problem, overthinking, right?
Overthinking. So sure, your hands might be trembling, but if the real issue is, you know, something that's happening inside of your brain, then that should actually be targeted by medication. If you're talking about truly trying to solve this problem,
yeah,
which let's face it, is not, you know, on a day-to-day basis, the most critical problem in the world. Although if you're a musician.
Yeah, no. But when I look into the complexity and mystery of the brain, this is the one or one of the things that I wish would have been fixed. Because how much anguish I went through. I was a competitive golfer back in the day. And getting the yips, not only in putting, like we were talking about during the interview, but also in the full swing. Not being able to hit the broadside of a barn or even come close to the fairway just because of, like, right the moment before I hit the ball, not starting the swing was fine, but the moment before I hit the ball, something would go wrong. And I just, all the hours, I gave my life to golf, and just this stupid overthinking or this stupid problem with my brain took it all away.
It's like it's God. Betraying you in a way. You've put so much time, yeah. Effort, hours into this one movement, and then at the last second, your brain says no. So you would.
But now I'm connected with these rhesus monkeys, and I know
it's you and the primates.
I know it's just part of our evolution.
Except, I guess that's the question. So you're saying you would love to have a medication that fixes this, and you would pop that magic pill.
Oh, good question. At this point, would I have taken the beta blockers? That is a really good question. I'd have to go back to me as a 17-year-old and face that question for real. Now I would say maybe yeah. Because it would be nice to see how good I could have become.
And it would have given you a huge competitive advantage over everyone else
like
who didn't
steroids,
have. No, yeah, yeah. An anti-steroid kind of for your brain. Calm down. Yeah. If you have any questions or any comments on what we've just discussed, please get in touch with us. We are I'm getting the jitters.
Mm-hmm.
We're SU.
It's SU at DW.com.
Science Unscripted.